May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our Father. Amen.
As a youngster,
I can remember watching an old TV program called You Are There. I don't know if anybody here remembers that or not. It was hosted by Walter Cronkite, and the gist of the show was a recreation of a historical event in which the viewers were there as eyewitnesses. For example, we were taken to Appomattox Courthouse to witness Lee's surrender, and where we heard the comments of both the main characters and those who were present. The show pretends to take the audience to that event so they can observe it as the event happens. Today I'm going to ask you to join me in an episode of this old TV show and return to about 33 AD and watch the events as four witnesses saw them, including ourselves. On this Palm Sunday, you are there, along with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. As the show opens, we are standing along the Via Dolorosa, or Way of Sorrows. It's a big, long road that led into Jerusalem. And we see a great commotion with people cutting down and throwing palm branches and coats and everything else in the road. And a rather unimpressive person is riding towards us, being followed by a large crowd. The fellow standing next to us is Matthew. Now, he was a tax collector, and he tells us that this person that we're seeing is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth, who is entering Jerusalem riding on a donkey. He's being hailed as the Messiah. Now, a Messiah can be defined as a leader or a savior of a special group, and the Jews were looking for a Messiah that would save them from the oppression of the foreign rulers they'd been under, and they had been promised such a Messiah even since they fell into sin in the book of Genesis. This Jesus had performed many miracles and had taught God's word like no one ever had. And so many thought him to be the promised Messiah. Even his mode of interest was as was prophesied in the Old Testament. Zechariah, the prophet, wrote, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See your king coming to you, righteous, victorious, lowly, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Matthew tells us that the people have cut palm leaves and covered the ground and cried out, "Hosanna," which means, "Save us, we pray." But other people saw this entrance and said, "Who is this?" That question is the turning point in history for us. For in just 5 days, the cries will no longer be "Hosanna," but "Crucify, crucify." And on the eighth day, we learn who this Jesus really is. Next, we meet Mark, the youngest of Jesus' followers, who was also present during this great event. And he recalls that Jesus had sent two of his disciples into town in order to bring him the donkey on which he was riding. He tells them to go into the town and untie that donkey and bring it to him. And if anyone asks, just tell him Jesus has need of it. Like Mark, we are amazed at how much control this Jesus has over worldly things. Who else do you think, would be able to obtain a donkey by saying, "I want that donkey"? In Isaiah, we learn the power of Jesus' words. "So it is my word that goes out from my mouth, and it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Mark, like Matthew, sees the people hail Jesus with hosannas and spread the palm leaves along the road. Mark says that Jesus now has accepted that title of Messiah. He said, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus said this knowing that that act, accepting the Messiahship, will set in motion events that will bring a cruel death to him in just a few days. Our next interviewee is Luke. He's a physician who confirms what the other witnesses have seen, this Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, and a large crowd hailing him as a Messiah. But Jesus also tells us of a protest group that's there. And they're saying to Jesus, tell these people to be quiet. But Jesus says to them, most amazing thing, he says, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. Now, by saying this, we see that Jesus has assumed the role of Messiah and what that role entails. For even nature is crying out for a salvation and a Messiah. Luke tells us that as Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it, cried over it. And he says, if you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but is now hidden from your eyes. His heart is breaking for those who cannot see the destruction that lies in their future, and because they refuse to hear his words of peace. John, who called himself the one who Jesus loved, is our final interviewee. And he affirms much of what the other witnesses have reported, but he also tells us of a group of foreigners, people who were not Hebrews, who were there also because they wanted to meet Jesus, because they'd heard of all his miracles and the great things he had done and the kind words he had spoken. John tells us that Jesus had responded to them and the crowd in this way. Jesus told them, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Verily, very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. He then went on to say, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this hour, this very reason, I came. Father, glorify your name. Then suddenly, a voice from heaven comes, and it was heard by some, but others wrote it off as thunder. The voice says, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Jesus said, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. Jesus went on to explain, now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. He also told them, believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. John tells us that even though these people had seen at least knew of the miracles and the good works Jesus had performed, they did not accept him as the Messiah. And in just a few days, they were begging for him to be crucified. What would we see if we were there? What would draw our attention? Would it be that Jesus is riding on a donkey instead of a war horse? What kind of king is that? Would we believe that he is the one promised by the prophets, the one who can save us? Would we want a king who could only lead us in this world? Would we be singing hosannas with the others? Would his appearance and lack of royal robes confuse us as to his real power? Would we listen to the ones calling for him to be silent and renounce those praising him? I would hope that we would see that our God is coming to us as a humble servant, meek and mild. He is not coming to us in fury like he did to Adam or Cain or those around Mount Sinai, but he is coming on palm branches, symbols of peace. I hope that we would realize that he is the one who was promised in Genesis to crush death's head. I would hope that we would see that his power as king are greater ever, or the greatest ever, exceeding those of all the Caesars, of Alexander, Genghis Khan, all the conquerors. Because there is no earthly king or ruler that can ever, ever forgive our sins and give us eternal life. I believe that as we stand along the palm-strewn road, as Jesus travels into Jerusalem, we would know why he has come. He has come to give us a baptism in which we will die and rise with him. He comes to give us confession and absolution, where our baptismal promises are confirmed. He comes to give us his word, in which he increases our faith. And he comes to give us his body and blood in his holy supper, in which we are forgiven and strengthened. He does all this to mend the division that sin has created between our Heavenly Father and us. So during this Holy Week, travel with our Savior as he goes to the cross to make us his forgiven children. Be there this Thursday as he institutes his Holy Supper. Be there this Friday as we see him pay the horrible price for his redemption. Finally, be with him Sunday as he declares the victory over devil, death, and sin. Then you may say these words with which that old TV show always ended. And that's how it was on Palm Sunday, and you were there. Now may the peace of the Lord keep your hearts and minds to life everlasting. Amen.